Good morning, everybody, and welcome to my podcast, In Pursuit of Purpose, where we hold space for transforming trauma, igniting your purpose, and rewriting your story one episode at a time. So I don't know if you guys remember, if you listened to the last episode or so, I started a series about a week ago, and I knew it was going to be a series that I called, I think I kind of alluded to, A to Z, but I wasn't sure about the title. So last week's episode was episode 2 of season 3, and I titled it The Road to Absolution, Finding Myself Again After Trauma. And I used the first letter of the alphabet, and I made it into a 3-part series, basically, of when I was a child, when I went through trauma, and then what I'm doing to heal from that. So my 3 words that started with A last week were, I am adventure, I am alone, I am absolution. So this week, I've done a lot of thinking about what I wanted to do with this series overall, and I'm officially announcing a new series title for this episode and many more to come. So for the next 26 episodes or so, I'm going to focus on sharing insight on topics from a brand new thought-provoking series I've named Unraveling the Past from A to Z, Exploring the Layers of Trauma and Uncovering a Path Towards Healing. And this series is going to explore more of the lingering effects of trauma from childhood. We will examine those remnants of those haunting memories that some of us just can't let go, and how patterns and cycles of generational trauma impact our thoughts, emotions, and even our self-perception as an adult. And I know for me, I feel like on the podcast, I talk a lot about trauma. And I share a lot with you guys about my own experiences. I kind of just allude to them. I haven't really gone into depth in personal stories or anything like that. And I tell you that there's hope, and I share with you hope, but maybe I don't share all the steps that I'm going through or the steps that maybe you might need to work your way through the layers of trauma. So in upcoming episodes, we'll also discuss the challenges of confronting those ghosts. And for me, this part of it, the unbecoming of everything that we never were meant to have become in the first place, that's the hardest part sometimes. But then finally, together, we will learn how to reframe those narratives, embrace vulnerability, which I have an issue with sometimes, and that will only foster the growth that will help us to rewrite our story one chapter at a time to heal from these deeply rooted wounds of the past. So let's get right to it today. In today's episode and the second part of this 26-part series, I'm going to talk about being brave as a child. And then in my own life, becoming broken and what led to me feeling like I was broken. And then how I'm learning to become bold again as I take the next step in my journey towards healing. So let's first talk about unveiling my bravery as a child. Oh, the memories of childhood bravery. You remember how easy that used to be? Where shall I start? Okay, so I'm going to read this next part because I wrote it in part of a book that I'm writing for my memoir. So just know that it's a personal experience, and I'm just going to share this part of my story with you. So imagine this. In a picturesque backyard setting, a cluster of first-grade girls are engrossed in an exhilarating game of truth or dare. Little Sadie, the ever-imaginative young girl that was up next, felt a surge of excitement when she bravely accepted the challenge of seeing who could run the fastest from the back door of the babysitter's kitchen all the way through the house, navigating every obstacle in between, and sprinting through the front screen door and out onto the front porch as fast as she could. She was, of course, being timed by the others, and she believed she could run fast enough to beat them all. I might interject here that the others had already had their turn, and we'd been called in for lunch by our favorite babysitter, Dorothy, and had taken a break to eat. So, lunch is done, we're washed up and ready to continue our early afternoon adventure, and it was my turn to complete the race, and nothing could have stopped me. I steadied my nerves, swallowed hard, and exhaled, shifting my feet beneath me in preparation of when they would say the words. "Ready," Amy said with anticipation. "Set," Colleen said with excitement. "Go," Trisha bellowed with delight as I hit the ground running and ran as fast as my feet would carry me. I swear I could feel the wind beneath me, even though there were no trees in sight. I felt the heat underneath my little feet burning as it ignited, and I took off in a blaze of glory, sure to win the best prize. It was the last thing I remember, really, before a crash, a bang, a boom, and then blood. I gazed up from an astonished position on the gray-painted splintered wood floor of the front screened-in porch and hesitated before I let out my first wail. They all just stood there, shocked as much as I was. Dorothy scooped me up into her arms and rushed me towards the bathroom, blood gushing from my chin, crimson droplets splashing the wood as she hurried me into the house. She carefully cleaned up my wounds. They were superficial, mostly, save for the tiniest sliver of glass she wasn't able to get out. As it turned out, as we ate lunch, the babysitter had locked the front door, the hook-and-eye latch on the wooden and glass-paneled storm door, and I, unknowingly, completed my race by crashing straight through it and landing in a heap of glass and wood instead. I would proudly carry that life lesson and shard of glass inside the slightly raised scar that's still just underneath my chin as a reminder. And each time I think of it, I remember how brave I was to this day. So think about your own childhood now. In what ways do you remember being brave? Did some of us get hurt by fearlessly following our imaginations down a rabbit hole of fantasy-driven dreams and thinking we could conquer the world? Sure we did. But you know what? I really miss those days sometimes. The awe, the wonder, just the simplicity of it all. Even if, in the end, I have scars to prove how much that bravery hurt. So, now let's talk about the day I became broken and I learned not to be so brave. I remember it as if it was yesterday. The room with the two black leather lazy boys placed with a table nestled between, a fireplace, a cozy couch, one of my favorite rooms in my favorite house growing up. I was 6 years old when they sat me down and told me they were getting a divorce, and I was shocked, though I didn't quite understand all the ways my innocent little 6-year-old life was truly about to change. I think from that moment on, I started questioning if what I felt was normal. I felt alone. I remember that even from 6 years old, that I felt alone. I felt like I wanted to ask questions because I never really even saw them fight. I never heard them yell at each other. And looking back now, when I went through my divorce, there was yelling, there was fighting, there was contention, there was coolness, there was a distance. I never felt that from my parents. So I think I was confused on like how somebody can just wake up one day and my little family as I knew it had ended. So like I said, I started to question if what I felt was normal and if anybody else felt that way. And I felt something missing. I felt lost. And sadly, I can trace that first inkling of understanding brokenness to the moment my parents said, "We are getting a divorce." And it's not that it was their fault. I don't blame either one of them for splitting up. They did the best thing they could at that moment, and it was the right thing to do. I know that as an adult, that they weren't meant to be together. They married other people, and I feel like that was not a mistake on their part. That is not what hurt. But it wasn't just the divorce that made me feel broken. It was honestly, and I know this is going to hurt a few people's feelings that if they listen to this, but I'm tired of being quiet. I'm tired of not being able to use my voice to express how I felt when I was younger. And it's the only way that I'm going to heal, by admitting that pain and working my way through it. So here it goes. It wasn't just the divorce. It was the not being allowed to say my dad's name or my grandparents' names after the day that he left. Or refusing to allow me to celebrate part of my bloodline and ancestry that I should have been able to be proud of and that I should have been allowed to ask questions about and even acknowledge the parts that made me who I was. I shouldn't, at 54 years old, have to go to my dad and say, "Who was this person? Can you share part of your ancestry with me? Because I honestly don't know much about it because I was never allowed to ask. We never sat down and talked about it." And I know that the first time I flew across the United States alone, I must have been about 10 maybe, which would have put my brother about 5 or 6, but it was my first taste of how life would be now, bouncing back between two households and two parents who now live thousands of miles apart. I remember being scared to be on a plane for the first time, and I had to be brave. I couldn't show how scared I was because here's my little brother that's just this tiny. I thought we were going to get lost. I thought we would, you know, we had to switch planes, I believe, one of the times that we flew. I think that was that next year. And of course, the stewardesses were wonderful, and we even got little wings to wear. I don't know if anybody remembers those. I believe it was Frontier Airlines, and you got little wings. But I was terrified. So now I have two step-parents and a half-sibling later on, and step-siblings that definitely wanted to be called step and never really accepted me. One of my brothers did, and he would call me his sister, but the rest of them, I was definitely always the step. And it hurt for me that when I stepped off the plane after being gone for 6 weeks with my dad and my new family, that I was never able to share the things that happened when I was at his house. The funny things, the happy things, the memories that we made. I couldn't tell anybody about them the moment I walked off the plane and walked through the door to come home. In fact, not only couldn't I share it, and I was told that they didn't want to hear it, but I was never even allowed to speak his name. And what hurts the most is that before long, with a new dad in the picture, I was made to pretend like my dad didn't ever exist at all. And that is what broke my heart. And I've kept all of that suppressed for years and years and years because that's what I was made to feel I had to do to be loved. And there's a lot of times in my life, it was just don't talk about it. We don't want to hear it. Just don't talk about it and everything will be fine. And it wasn't until just the last couple of years, to be honest, that I've allowed myself to really begin to consider and relive how that shaped me, how it hurt me, and ultimately how it broke me inside. Now, I'm thankful that my dad is still here for me to be able to make amends with now, to have those real conversations. And we had one here not too long ago, and it hurt like hell for both of us. But I feel like we can talk about it now and express how much those years without each other really hurt. And we can make new memories now so we can heal. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I can't help think about the time we lost and how we can never get that time back again. And what I need to work on this year, I need to work on forgiveness on a whole lot of levels. And it's difficult. But I need to learn to forgive those who did this to me, one of which is no longer here, and one that's left who isn't sorry at all. I just ran across this last week when I tried to express my feelings in a poem, and I got backlash for that all over again, as if I was not allowed to mention my heritage or my bloodline, and I'm tired of it. I'm working on it day by day, and I wonder, do you guys have skeletons like this in your own closet? Ones that you've never been able to open the door and release, or even to talk about? So I hope by doing this series that I can show you through my own healing journey that I understand, I get it, and my heart hurts for you too. I'm sorry for the time that you lost in your own family or going through your own trauma. But I promise you that there is a way out. There is a path ahead that leads to healing. But I think the first thing we need to do is just admit those things out loud that you've always been afraid to say. And for me, this podcast is a safe place to do it. Whether it be because you think it might hurt someone's feelings or that you're afraid to admit the truth, it's time to use your own voice and stand up for yourself and say the things that made you feel not so brave and broken. So taking this first step forward and being brave and bold enough to admit that your trauma shaped you, whether you like it or not, into who you are in this moment. But you can do the work to work through the hard things and the things that you were afraid to once admit. And you can finally pen that first line, just like I am, of your healing by putting one foot in front of the other and moving in the direction of your healing by leaving the past behind. And that's not always easy to do. But I hope to just unravel the past one piece at a time to uncover a path towards healing. And that's what I'm doing right now. I think by doing this A to Z series, it's not just because I use the alphabet. It's not just because I'm using letters and making up these words that go, you know, with the letters from A to Z. But each of those is a piece of my trauma tapestry that I'm just unraveling one little string, one little rope, one little memory at a time, and working through so that I can heal. And it takes an immense amount of courage to confront the traumas of our past, especially those that stem from childhood experiences. These early adversities often linger in the depths of our subconscious, subtly shaping our beliefs and behaviors, whether we even know it's happening or not. However, by bravely delving into the layers of those traumas, we can begin to uncover a path towards healing. This process involves acknowledging the pain, and that's what I've never been able to do, I think. I've never been able to say it, hey, this is what you did and this is what hurt me, because that's unacceptable. You just keep your mouth shut. You act like the pain never existed or that the trauma never happened, and we move forward because that's what we're going to show to everybody else on the outside. And I'm done with that part of it. So the other part of that is validating the emotions that are there. Instead of pretending like you weren't allowed to feel certain things or express certain things, you need to validate those emotions and realize that it's okay to feel that way. Whether anybody else told you it was or not, you are okay to feel sad, to feel angry, to feel depressed, to feel hurt, to have panic attacks, to have anxiety now as an adult, because that stuff is still stuffed so far down that you've never been able to express it. So gradually, we want to unravel the tangled web of those past experiences. I think that one of the key strategies to breaking free from childhood trauma is embracing vulnerability, and that's where I have struggled in the past. It may seem counterintuitive, especially when our natural instinct is to shield ourselves from further pain. After all, that's exactly what I've done for 54 years. However, it's through that vulnerability that we can foster true growth and connection. By allowing ourselves to feel and express those emotions, we open the door to healing and reclaiming our personal power. I guess I just didn't feel like until now I truly had the power to make that choice. Someone else has always been making it for me, and I'm not sure I still feel brave enough to step into that power and reclaim what I've lost, but I'm working on it. One word, one line, one painful memory, and one chapter at a time. So how do we move beyond this point? How do we craft a new narrative and rewrite our storyline? Childhood trauma often shapes the narratives we tell ourselves. And those narratives often limit our potential and hinder our ability to thrive. And that's what I feel like I've been doing for 53 and a half years. There's been moments when I felt like I was on top of it. When I was raising my kids, I honestly didn't think about my trauma as much. I thrived when I was a stay-at-home mom taking care of my kids. Even after we had R2 and I went back to work, I still feel like I thrived as a working mom. And I went back to school, I earned my associate's, my bachelor's, and then finally my master's in psychology. And I still feel like I was thriving. And I felt so much better about myself and learned to gain that confidence, especially after my divorce. But somewhere along the line, after the kids started leaving home, started going through empty nest syndrome, whether we wanted to admit it or not, those traumas still started resurging, and I didn't know what to do with them. So, like I said, it shapes those narratives that we've told ourselves, and I think mine just kind of stayed under the surface until I had time to think and time to be alone, and I was like, oh crap, here they come again. So it is within our power to rewrite those storylines and to transform the narrative of victimhood into a narrative of resilience and empowerment. And I feel like for a while on the podcast and even in my own life, I got trapped within that victimhood because I got angry. First, I suppressed. First, I lived in denial. Everything was fine. Everything is good. I'm going to raise my kids differently. I'm not going to make the same mistakes my parents did. And that will somehow rectify all of this pain and trauma from my past. And then the next thing I know, these ghosts come knocking on your door and I'm angry. Why did this happen? Why were certain things allowed to happen? Why wasn't anybody there to help me the way I want to help others? And so you get trapped in that narrative of victimhood where it's not fair. I'm angry. I'm hurt. But we have to move through that too. So by acknowledging the bravery that it takes to confront those traumas, we begin the process of rewriting our story. And I want to shape the way I say things and the way I do things so that I create a new narrative that reflects my strength and my resilience. So in conclusion, breaking free from this childhood trauma, it does require immense bravery and boldness. And I want you, as you're unraveling the layers of those past experiences, to remember before the moment that you felt broken, I want you to remember your bravery. And I know specifically for the first 6 years of my life, I have wonderful, wonderful, wonderful childhood memories of my parents, of my grandparents. And I felt like if I look back on that time now, I actually get goosebumps because I felt like I was loved. I was happy. There was just this defining moment in my life where all was right with my world. And I think I assumed it would always be that way. So like I said, then comes your parents getting divorced and all the traumas that go along with that. And I have a whole lot more that I want to share with you after that point as I go into my teenage years and even as I go through some stories about when I went through my divorce and what happened with all of that. But I want to remember the good things. I don't want to just focus on those negative things that happened as I unravel the layers of those past experience. And I want to learn to embrace vulnerability. I want to share those stories with you so that you know you're not alone. I'm not sharing them with you to complain about how horrible my childhood was, because there are a lot of happy moments in my childhood as well. There are a lot of things that make me happy, that helped me heal, that structured who I am today. But there's also some stuff along the way that I really want to be honest with you about, and I want to uncover those a little bit at a time. And I want you to take a minute just to acknowledge how much courage and bravery it's already taken to get us where we are today. We can learn to foster an environment of self-compassion, and we can transform that trauma into a source of strength and resilience, like I said, ultimately becoming bold in our own journey towards healing. I encourage you all, because this is one of the hardest things for me to accept, is to give yourself a little grace, a little mercy, as you're learning a new form of self-care that maybe you're not comfortable with, a new form of self-love. And that's often the hardest part of my journey, like I said, at least it is for me. Growing up, many of us have experienced childhood trauma that's left deep scars, and we haven't always been able to give ourselves the love we need. It's almost like we blame ourselves for things happening. If I would have done something different, if I would have done this different, if I would have whatever, this wouldn't have happened to me. That's not how that is. It's important to remember that we have the power to break free from those painful memories and that negative self-talk and embark on a journey of healing. Bravery becomes the key to interrupting the strategies that kept us trapped in the past. So by becoming bold and facing our fears head on, we begin to dismantle the walls that have held us back for so long. How many of you in relationships have put up walls that other person really didn't deserve because of your past trauma? I know my husband's taken the brunt of that for years, and he's easily just chipped away at all of those layers and all of those walls until I am completely vulnerable with him. but it's not always as easy to let other people in. And sometimes it's not always easy to let myself in, if that makes any sense. I keep myself with this little wall around me and don't often necessarily admit the things that I need to admit before I can heal. So it may not be an easy path, but with a whole lot of strength and determination, we can take the necessary steps towards healing and reclaim our lives. Childhood trauma is a heavy burden that weighs us down throughout our lives, but it does not have to define us, and I'm tired of letting it define me. I feel like within the last few years, I've let it take over again, my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, and I'm tired of letting it define me. I have the power, and so do you, to break free from those chains of the past and embark on a journey of healing and self-discovery. And like I said, it takes bravery to confront that trauma head on, but the rewards are immeasurable. We need to learn to interrupt the patterns and strategies that have kept us stuck in that pain so we can start becoming bold in our pursuit of healing. So I think for me, it's about challenging those negative beliefs that I've internalized and replace them with empowering ones. For you all as well, it might require seeking therapy and support groups or other resources that can guide us on this transformative journey. For me also, because I'm a writing coach, because I'm an author, I am starting with journaling. I journaled when I was younger. I had a diary. Of course, how many of us girls or guys had a diary when you were little and wrote all your thoughts in? I didn't write my deepest, darkest thoughts in there because I was always afraid my brother, my mom, my dad, anybody. I remember one summer I had written some stuff down that was very personal. And when I was away for the summer at my dad's house, my things were gone through. And then just small, simple things about the way I felt were questioned and I was confronted about them. So I think from that point, I just stopped writing in my diary and my journal. And I thought, no place is safe. I can't even express myself in a diary about my not even dark thoughts, just my how I felt about things. So that's part of what I'm reclaiming this year. And I actually got this book at a bookstore called The Next Chapter. It's called Sparks. And it's like a one-sentence journal, but you write your sparks and moments that sparked all kinds of things, basically using all your senses. And it's become a journal that I'm going to start writing down and facing those things. And I want to remember and recapture the happy memories too. So I'm going to put it all in this book and then at the end of the year, kind of look back and see how far I've come. So like I said, you can seek therapy, support groups, writing therapy, somatic therapy is awesome for being able to work through your trauma as well. And ultimately, it's about finding the courage to face our fears and to embrace that vulnerability, like I said, to let go of the past. So you have to have that conviction that you deserve better. You can break free from that grip of childhood trauma and create a brighter, more fulfilling future for ourselves. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I don't want to live in the darkness or the shadows anymore. I want to embrace that brighter future that I know is out there waiting for me. So by implementing those strategies that empower us to heal, we can become bold and resilient individuals again. Like I mentioned a minute ago, one effective strategy is seeking professional help, such as therapy or counseling, to navigate the complexities of our trauma experiences. And sometimes we need those professionals that can provide a safe and supportive environment where we can explore our emotions, develop coping mechanisms, and learn to reframe our narratives. A lot of us aren't able to do it on our own, and I'm not afraid to admit that. Additionally, building a strong support system of friends and family, not the same ones that have given you the trauma in the first place, or support groups that can provide a sense of belonging and validation, just reminding us that we're not alone in our journey. And I hope that this podcast captures that and can do that for you as well. There's self-care activities that we can learn to engage in, even exercising, meditation, creative outlets. When my husband and I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, I don't know, a year and a half ago, we started walking. I was determined that I was going to lose weight and do all these things for myself. And I can't tell you how much better I felt once we got out there. Did I feel like it? No. Because especially in the wintertime, like I've talked to you guys before, especially for those people that have seasonal affective disorder, like I do, I don't feel like getting out there and walking. It's cold. I have fibromyalgia as well. So the pain that I feel sometimes when I'm out there in the cold, it's not worth it. And I'm saying that facetiously because in my head, that's what I tell myself, but it's a lie. And once I get out there and I start exercising, I actually can meditate. I can put music on and I can meditate as I walk. And there's a multifold benefit to that. Creative outlets. I have a writer's group that I go to that's more like therapy. And these people have honestly become my friends. And they were unexpected. And they were exactly what I needed in my life to help me heal. And all of them are, it helps me to know that I feel bad for their pain and their trauma that they've experienced. And not all of them have experienced trauma. We don't sit around and just share stories of how horrible everything was. But they've opened up through their stories. Some of them are writing their memoirs. And it helps to know that others have been through the same thing and that there is hope for all of us to make it through together. So like I said, if we can help reconnect with ourselves and others, we can cultivate a sense of inner strength. And it's important to remember that healing is a process, and you have to take it one step at a time. It requires perseverance and determination and never giving up. So by embracing all of those strategies, we can break free from the shackles of childhood trauma and become bold individuals again who are capable of reclaiming our lives and rewriting our narratives. It is evident that bravery can be interrupted by childhood trauma, but it is not the end of our story. By implementing those strategies, like I said, we can break free from the past and become bold in our journey to healing. Remember, even though it doesn't feel like it sometimes you're scared as hell, you are brave for facing this trauma. You may have been broken or felt broken in the past, but now it is time to be brave and bold and embrace your healing journey. It is time to step into your purpose and rewrite your story. You are brave, you are bold, and you are capable of healing, just as I am. So let's keep moving forward and remember that you are not alone, I am not alone, in this journey. Let's continue to rewrite our stories one bold step, one healing chapter at a time. Now I hope you'll continue to join me for this brand new series about unraveling the past from A to Z, exploring the layers of trauma and uncovering a path towards healing. I hope this episode has motivated you as much as it has me to want to start unraveling those layers so that eventually we can learn to thrive and not just merely survive as we've done in the past. Most of all, I hope you know that you are loved and you are worthy and you are enough no matter where you are on this healing journey. Together we can and will heal as we learn to let the past go and welcome in this new chapter, turning pages of transformation, healing, and change. I can't wait to see where this new road takes us as we embrace this new year and make it into everything we desperately need it to be. So thank you for being here. Thank you for making a difference in my life. I would not be where I am without you today. Hang in there. And know that you are loved from here to the universe and back. Until next time, I am unconditionally yours. All my love, Sadie.